He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, let's get right into it. What's cooking?
What's cooking is a colorful vegetable plate. And I know that sounds like what's the big deal, but it is a big deal because it reminded me about a veggie plate when I was out the other evening at a ladies' gala, and she put on this delicious foodie spread, and she had a beautiful vegetable plate, and it was delicious with all these yummy dips that she had alongside with them. Just the colors alone and the beautiful decoration she made with the vegetables made a beautiful centerpiece. So you can make a veggie plate that is not that fancy as well. So don't wait for a special event to make a veggie plate, and there's no better time to serve a colorful and delicious vegetable plate is today, right? Spring is in the air. I guess it depends on where you live in the world, but it's also a nice change from a salad. And this way, everyone can pick exactly what they choose from the different colors and the different array of vegetables, and also what kind of sauce they want on it. Now, the beauty, don't you agree with that, though, Corey? Do you like veggie plates?
Oh,
you eat one
sure.
All the time.
Absolutely. It's high water volume, living, enzyme-rich plants.
You have one every day. We have like a little veggie plate, but it's not fancy schmancy veggie plate. It's just like a bunch of veggies, raw veggies cut up and thrown on a plastic container, right?
Yeah, well, that's because...
Because we're at home by ourselves. It's a different story, but... Right? But I'm talking... I know you make your own dip, but I'm talking about a really beautiful piece of artwork here, but not just the artwork of it, the nutritional value, because vegetables are low in calories and fat, but contain good amounts of vitamins and minerals. And all the green, orange, yellow vegetables are rich in calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, beta-carotene, vitamin B complex, vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin K, and the list goes on, doesn't it? Vegetables are also high in antioxidants, and these health-benefiting phytochemical compounds help protect the human body from oxidative stress by boosting the immune system. Vegetables are packed with soluble as well as insoluble dietary fiber. So what you're doing is you're eating these, and you can feel the goodness going into your body. And also, do not forget the high water content of vegetables. So, you know, you just can't lose, folks. So eat your veggies. Now, leave the veggie plate on the table with the dips, and it looks so attractive. And voila, you know what? Everyone, there won't be any vegetables left by the end of the night, nor will there be any dips left at the end of the night. Now, this recipe and the different dips are on our website under articles, under recipes, so just search for those. But, you know, you can make up the veggies and cut them up in different ways. You can put them all in uniform pieces in long slices, or you can make them round, or you can make them curly cues, but you can do an array of different things. But from A to Z, you can do asparagus tips. Now, some people do like asparagus raw, and some people like them slightly steamed. So you can slightly steam the asparagus so there's still a crunch in it. You can do beetroot. You can also do beetroot raw or slightly steam it. There's broccoli. There's carrot sticks, cauliflower, celery sticks, cherry tomatoes, chicory or endive, cucumbers, fennel, green beans, green onions, mushrooms, red radishes, romaine heart, snap peas, yellow, red, orange, green peppers, zucchini, and the list goes on and on. And if you want to get a little bit more extravagant, you can make hard-boiled eggs, different selections of olives, baby corns, roasted garlic, and, you know, the list goes on. Just have fun with it. And I know it's going to be a hit. You can do the hummus, the black bean dip, the papaya seed dressing dip, the honey mustard dip, the lemon and garlic dip. Just go for it.
Yes. Now, what that brings to mind is one of the episodes in the new series called Cosmos, A Space
Right.
Odyssey. Yes, Cosmos. Now, that is a continuation of the original Cosmos by Carl Sagan, and this is narrated by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an astrophysicist. But one of the episodes, he's standing in the fields, and he's answering the question, why can we see colors? How is it that we see a yellow flower and a red flower and a green flower? Why are they different? And it has to do with photons and how light is reflected and absorbed. And it has to do also, and this is important in nutrition, because it's the carotenoids in the plants that play a role with the photons in reflecting or absorbing light. Now, these carotenoids are designed by nature to protect themselves against free radical production. And they are able to withstand the constant exposure to sun. You know, like, imagine you and I going to Hawaii the first day. We lay in the beach all day long. The first day, we'd get fried and burnt, right?
Ouch, ouch.
So why is it that plants can stay in the sun all day long, even in these tropical environments with constant exposure to sun? It has to do with these built-in antioxidants, carotenoid chemistry. And this is why they're so important to eat. And then this ties in with macrobiotics, where if you live in an environment where you have a lot of exposure to light, you need to eat the local plants because they're designed by nature to withstand that same exposure. And by eating them, that's how we're able to cope.
Absolutely. But don't forget to water the garden either, otherwise your plants will shrivel up. But, you know, it just got me back to, instead of bringing out a salad when I have a company over or even just on the weekend, just leave that nice veggie plate in the middle of the table or in the kitchen, and I know by the end of the day it's going to be gone. Instead of making a beautiful big salad for your company, make a beautiful, extravagant veggie plate on a beautiful plate. And I'll tell you, it is a work of art. It's beautiful to see.
They are ruined, those plates, in my opinion, they are ruined by a terrible, horrible, caustic, evil dip. Okay, I hate those dips. I don't touch those dips. When I go to a party and I need to snack on something, I look for the protein. Most people don't have any, or it's fried or ruined or denatured. They don't have good proteins generally. Now, they might have some raw veggies, but then they got these crappy dips.
Yes.
So I just eat the vegetables raw.
Make your own dips. And like I said, everything is on the website under articles, then click over to recipes. And that's it. Pretty simple stuff.
Yeah, everything pretty much that's great is simple. So good, good, good. Get your vegetables on. All right.
Sweetheart. Which is the KISS method, keep it simple, sweetheart.
Yeah, and of course, try and get them organic and try and get quality and get
Absolutely.
Lots of colors. You know, the rainbow salad idea, lots of colors. I always choose seven. I try and get seven colors in my raw vegetable medley that I have combined with my protein, whether it's wild salmon or bison or chicken or fish or whatever it is. I have these raw veggies, and I try and get multiple colors because those colors protect the cells. That's what they do. The colors protect us. So think colors. They're beautiful to look at, and they're also beautiful to consume because they protect the cells from oxidative damage.
That they do.
Good stuff. So moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Ian King. What is the best way to train? That was what the whole thing was all about when he was a kid, and what his school is all about, and what he talks about is what is the best way to train, and the best way to train for your body. Ian King from King Sports International, KSI, from Australia, and the author of Get Buffed, and he wrote the first accreditation course in Australia. So that's kind of cool. And he discovered as a kid in school that those who he was training with, did they know what they were doing? So Ian eventually down the road developed the concept, the lines of movement concept, vertical and horizontal pushing and pulling, and how to balance the body in exercise using a holistic approach. Well, we like the sounds of that, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. He and I have a lot in common, yes. And he's taken on convention, and he spiraled away from it, and then he had the audacity to actually develop his own concepts.
Well, what's interesting is we've heard about the vertical, horizontal, pushing, pulling, but it's interesting to find out who is the guy, apparently, who developed this.
Yes, and also the guy that never got any credit for it.
Right. So
other people stole his ideas, stole his principles.
I know.
And then popularized them through their mechanism of media and interaction and never gave him any credit.
So what I mean, I think this is kind of interesting. He says, number one example that he gives, there are imbalances in the quad and the hip exercises. There are some exercises, just because they're popular doesn't mean that you should be doing them. And he uses the analogy of doing the wrong exercises, which are detrimental to your body, as sugar is to diabetes in your body. I thought that was cool. You know, just so it's like anything, just because it's out there and it's like a fashion, right? Let's say mini skirts are in or tight pants, but just because they're in doesn't mean you should be wearing them.
Yeah, well, right? that goes for, without saying, for diamond rings that women wear. That,
oh, come on!
That phenomenon was created by
the
diamond industry.
Okay, we're
now that's just one example of many also where people think that it's always been that way, and when you dig deep and get through the maze of opposing myth information, you realize it's all made up.
Now, one of the things that you really liked and that we both really liked is he feels that the purpose of sport is play. And when sport loses play, it becomes soulless. That was cool when he said that.
Yeah, I really like that terminology he used, because to me it is soulless. You're a piece of meat and you're working for money, and who cares whether you like it or not? And then that's what the businessmen of the world, you know, the corporations,
right.
and then how we refer to everything being corrupt. Well, you can take something great and wonderful, and someone can say, hey, I can make a lot of money doing that, and then they violate the principles and destroy it.
Well, he's got some great analogies, which I really, really like, because you asked him what his favorite sport was. And he says he works with all athletes of all different types of sports. And he says it's like choosing who's your favorite child when you got a bunch of kids. And I'm going, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, but he didn't really answer the question. He sidestepped the issue, which is part of the psychology. Now, he himself did not answer the question. I wasn't talking about whether he liked all sport, because I like all sport too, but I can nail down a favorite one. I can just say it, you know, like body surfing or throwing the hammer. I don't have any issue about that. And
right.
Then I can tell you why.
Trying to be diplomatic, which is a good thing. And also,
non-committal.
What you said about violence in sport, he said violence in sport, he said it stuns him regarding the rise of violence in sport, especially if your intention is to maim in a non-blood sport. And you should be banned for life, he thinks. He says there's nobility in being a warrior, but when it comes to non-blood sports and you're trying to hurt somebody, like with a ball or a stick.
And when it comes to blood sports, not non-blood sports.
Yeah. But
when it comes to blood sports.
But that's a different issue. Well, they go out there knowing they could be maimed.
They want blood. They seek blood.
But
they
when you're going out playing baseball and some guy tries to hit you with his bat, well, hello. He feels that they should be banned for life, as, you know, I agree with that one.
But it's not just banning the athlete. It's about the rules of the game and how this is, you know, lobbyists in Congress change laws so that they can get away with violating human beings. And so that's what they do in sport, too. They change the rules so that, like fighting and hockey, that's got nothing to do with hockey, and originally it was never allowed, never tolerated. It's not tolerated in Olympic hockey, but it is in the NHL because that's a business of entertainment, like the WWE.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Except the WWE is artificial and faked, whereas hockey fighting is real, and there's real violence in it.
Yes, I know.
People say, do you like watching violence? And I say, as long as it's artificial and staged, like when you watch an Arnold movie, nobody's getting hurt. It's all fake. It's all acting. And there's a message. There's an idea behind it. Like if you watch a movie about war and you see people getting their head blown off, no one's getting their head blown off. It's not real. It's all fake. But when you actually watch real violence and it's actually happening and you like that, what does that say about who you are?
Well, Ian King also brought up a few names that we recognize, such as Linus Pauling and Weston Price, all pioneers about quality of food and supplements. So he has had training with those and read their books, and he's into their teachings as well.
He's well-versed, well-rounded, balanced. He teaches a great concept, a great paradigm. I wouldn't hesitate in recommending his work and that people and coaches go to
right.
him. So he seems to be well-grounded. I like where he came from. He's born on this little tiny island up by New Guinea, and their whole life was about play. That's a great background for design of life.
Well, he did bring up what I thought was very interesting, because I can relate to this, about commercialism in fitness. The majority of what people do is because of commercialism, such as TV and articles and magazines, and if this is the new wave, go for it. And this brings me back. He says, he mentioned going on the grass and stretching. This doesn't sell a product. And this reminded me of working in a fitness place that I used to work at many years ago, and I got taken into the office for teaching the members to stretch on the floor. And he says, they didn't come here to use the floor. They came here to use the machines. That's what they paid for. I go, oh, all right. However, you can't stretch on any of those machines. We had to go sit on the floor on a mat and do proper stretching. Well, today they may have some stretching pieces of apparatus in some of the gyms, but really, you know, a good stretch is on the floor, I think.
Right, and then you can't use the standards of the company you work for as an excuse to justify your participation.
No.
Because you're not a machine.
Yes.
You are there by choice, and so if you cooperate, you're like involved in a conspiracy. Like, let's say you don't murder the guy, but you're involved in planning the murder. You go to jail too because you're considered to be guilty. So it reminds me too, when I was working in the fitness industry and I got my start, and I was so young and naive and idealistic, I didn't realize how evil the environment and the premise of their motive, their MO, their modus operandi, what they were trying to achieve and how they were going about it. They kept it well hidden from me, but I was so stupid and naive, I couldn't see it. I was just living in this idealistic bubble. But then I did see it, because the action and the outcome and the moving through it and being involved in it opens your eyes. And then I was forced to retract and move and quit, because I knew, I found out how bad it was. And then I moved away into something completely the opposite, which I found much more gratifying.
Tell somebody who gives a shit.
What I'm saying is that people justify their action by saying, I need a job, right? Or they train people in a certain way because they say, that's how I was trained, even though they know it's wrong. And I blame them, not the people who taught them.
Exactly. Anyway, we'd like to thank Ian King for his fantastic interview. And his final words were about find your gifts. Work for a purpose and have the desire for excellence, and the rest will fall into place.
Right on. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
Springtime, time to cleanse. Now, this is from the CSNA Module 3, the primary building blocks. And I just thought it would be interesting, you know, at this time, not just springtime, but all the time, right, is to live clean. Now, I just thought I would bring about on that module 3, which would be commencing on page 13, is the recipe for health. Now, that was the first book that you wrote in the series of books, and it's also in the CSNA in module 3. And we have it up on our kitchen wall, and it's clean air, pure water, fresh juice, whole foods, natural light, physical exercise, personal hygiene, periodic cleansing, adequate rest and sleep, and nutritional supplements. And that's how we try to live our life. We do. I'm not going to say try. That's how we live our life, and we do the best we can do. And you know what? That's all you can do is do your best. Do you say that you're doing the best you can do?
Yes, well, only you can answer that, but at the same time, other people objectively can analyze your behavior and say, like, for example, my parents did the best they could do. No, they didn't. They didn't even try. They didn't read a book. They didn't go to a clinic. They didn't consult with experts. They just relied on their own sense of knowing what was right and wrong, which has no validity or factual basis. So when you say you did your best, it should be subject to an objective analysis. And what does that mean? You're a human. You have a huge brain. You have the capacity to learn and study and grow. So are you doing your best? Like as a parent, as a person trying to be well. So if you had to write a book on what it takes to be well, because that's what it's all about, what to do to be well, and also the reason that we need to be well is because it's a means to an end. When you're well, you can do everything you want to do in your life and achieve things. You can't if you're not well. If you're
and
sick,
that leads me to fasting or cleansing, because a lot of people around this time of the year, March, April, May, they want to get into a cleanse or a fast. Now, I think it's really important that what we try to do is fast every day. Now, I'm going to just give a little excerpt on page 46 of Module 3, the primary building blocks. And this is what you wrote, Corey. I've learned to fast every day. That is, I've learned to fast from junk food, sugar, and white flour, negative people, destructive work environments, and pretty much anything or anybody that causes harm. Of course, I'm not always successful, but that's part of the fasting experience. So that's what you said. That's just a little excerpt there, which I always like to do. One of the things that I found very interesting, and I have done fasting and cleansing myself in my life. Now, you need to plan. You fail to plan, you plan to fail. Don't go on a fast or a cleanse when you're having a family reunion or there's a big party that night or there's a busy, busy week. You have to make sure, take a look at your calendar, plan a week that you know is clear. There's no company coming over. There's no big events coming over. Plan a week that is a little more relaxing, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, but I challenge the very essence of fasting for the most part.
Yes, but what I'm saying is whether you like it or not, Corey, people are going to do it, okay? Whether you like it or not.
Oh, of course.
There are people out there who listen to SNU that are going to do it anyway. So all I'm saying is make sure you plan it out. That's what I'm saying. What you've got written down here in Module 3 on page 46 are the different types of fast that one can do if they choose to do so. So basically, at this time of the year, you choose what you want to do, but what we think at CHI is just start your day with filtered water, freshly squeezed juices with calcium ascorbate powder, vitamin C. If you drink coffee, drink the highest quality coffee. Try to drink it black. Protein shakes made with water. Try not to use all the other ingredients as fillers. Eat lots of freshly made salads with your own dressings. Eat a healthy dinner and more water. And get everything that you need in your life through the recipe for health. And that's what we're really talking about. Every day is a fast.
Yes, and I think a good idea is to print it off and put it on your fridge.
Absolutely.
It's like some of our students put our athlete's food pyramid on the fridge. If it's in your face, it keeps you mindful.
Absolutely. And another thing that we do in our kitchen is we have our blender right there. We've got your juicer right there. You've got your espresso right there. You've got everything that you need every single day is laid out on the counter and really easily accessible so that you don't have to climb up and get a chair or bend over and get it. And, you know, so everything is easy to get at, and it reminds you to use it every day. And that's about it.
Yes, and
so make a plan. Plan out your, like, what do we say is eat as hard as you train, right?
And I do go into detail about the different methodologies associated with fasting, because there is a real valid application for fasting.
Yes, and that's why I say, you know,
as it relates to healing,
yes,
and restoration and detox.
Absolutely.
It's done incorrectly by most people because they don't understand what it really takes, and you're absolutely right. They don't plan it out. It's done
it's sort of
a hurried method. It's
right.
Part of this whole process of what's causing them to be sick in the first place.
Well, I've known people to go on a week's fast and then they end up having a martini. They literally pass out, you know. So, I mean, breaking the fast, like it's like breakfast is breaking the fast from not eating all night long. So, you know, like I said, plan it out. Seek counsel if you need counsel on it to learn how to do it properly. And that's it.
Yeah, good stuff. So it's springtime. Time to cleanse. All right, what's your final word?
My final word is by Napoleon the First. Water, air, and cleanliness are the chief articles in my pharmacopoeia.